Dude, so in my opinion, this is the hottest trend at the moment. I call these people Christian Buddhists.
Right.
A Christian Buddhist I define as somebody who they want a spiritual journey. They have some sort of basic understanding of spirituality, that there's something outside of themselves, and that, you know, that's a good place to start. But they believe that they can know the God of the Bible outside of his self revelation. And we can't. We just can't know God. We're stuck in the time-space continuum. And unless God, you know, God exists outside of the time-space continuum, I can't know who created the time-space continuum, because he's not made of the same stuff. And he's not experiencing time the way I am, matter the way I am, space the way I am, unless he invades the time-space continuum.
Welcome to This Is Us podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Hansen, and my wife and I have the honor of serving alongside an amazing team as lead pastors of Hillsong Church in Denmark and Malmö. This podcast is a collection of short episodes regarding life, leadership, and culture. If you haven't done so already, please click follow and subscribe. And as always, if you find this to be valuable, feel free to share it with others. Well, welcome to This Is Us. We are well and truly in December, and we're going to continue our conversation with Nathan Finocchio. He's the co-founder of Theos You, the Netflix of Christian education. It's an online biblical seminar, theological seminar, university. It's a subscription model. I would encourage you to go to Theos You, that is theosu.ca, or find them on your app store, and you can subscribe and you can figure out what that is. But we have been speaking with Nathan about different things, and today we're going to hit a subject that not a lot of people are talking about, yet there's a lot of talk happening about it, and that is the end times. My goodness, we are living in a time where, you know, people are saying this, that, and the other things about what is going on, the mark of the beast, what is happening. Is it the corona vaccine? Man, we're just going to dive into what does the book of Revelation actually say. Plus, we're just going to talk about what is the time that we are living in terms of Christianity. We're going to talk about Christian Buddhist. What is that? Well, you're about to find out. So here we go, Nathan Finocchio. Let me ask you something completely different, but I know you have an opinion about it. And it's weird to bring it up, because this is something that was so big in the 90s. And that's the end times. And it's like, you got a few voices now, you know, I'm saying few because they're few and loud. You know, talking about the end times, talking about COVID is the precursor of the mark of the beast. It's a training ground. It's to condition us all. I'm related to some of these voices. I'm treading careful here, but what I know you have a take on it, so it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
But you're sitting with people that are obviously experts in the book of Revelations, which is obviously telling us step by step what is happening right now. And if you turn it upside down, inside out, you can even get dates and times on when everything's going to happen. Let's go.
Yeah. So the way I read the book of Revelation, I read it the way the early church read it, the medieval church read it, and the Reformed church read it. So for me, what I'm increasingly trying to do is be less of a modern reader of scripture, and increasingly try to tie myself to church tradition. Because I think it's safer. I don't think that the church got everything right, okay, in history, okay. But there's safety in taking a look at some of the looking at the throughout whole history. If the church is pretty much united on a certain type or style of reading, it's typically like most times it's safe. It's actually safe. For example. Sexual ethics, you know, like I'm going to side with the church on sexual ethics and how we read the scriptures in terms of modern sexual ethics. So the church has always read the book of Revelation Understanding that it was written by a Jewish guy. Okay, number one, his name is John. He's Jewish, and all of the numbers that he uses, all of the visuals that he's using, these are Jewish numbers, which means like they mean something more than literal numbers. Like, for example, when Peter says a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, that's not an exact unit of measurement. A thousand is Hebrew speak for like forever, like a bazillion, you know? And so the book of Revelation is full of these numbers that mean stuff in Judaism. And these are all Old Testament concepts and ideas. Long story short, the mark of the beast. So when I read the book of Revelation, this is how the ancient church read this. They read it as, this is stuff that was, John was addressing things that were happening immediately, like to the Ephesian church and to the Jerusalem church and to the seven churches that he's writing to. Also, these are going to be things that are cyclical. Like, this is stuff that Christians are. So, for example, the mark of the beast, it's a mark on hands, on the right hand and on the forehead. And it, people, unless they get this mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is a mark that signifies allegiance to the beast, right? So it's not just like, for example, if somebody came up to me and they're like, hey, get this barcode tattoo, and it's actually all of your details, your passport, all that stuff, and it'll just, you know, then you don't have to forget, you know, you'll have your credit card information, all that stuff, your birth certificate, it's just gonna be way easier. I would probably just be like, dope, let's do it. Let's do it right now. You tell, like, easy, you know, like, it has nothing, if it has nothing to do with allegiance, like, this is what we need to understand here. It's like, we can't get weird about, like, things, you know, like,
right.
For example, like, if, you know, the mark of the beast, oh, you know, don't put anything on your body. Oh, Nathan, why would you get a chip? You know, why would you get a heart thing? You know, like, that helps your heart. You know what I mean? Like, why would you get, there's lots of things that we surgically implant into our bodies to make our bodies better.
Yeah.
It's about allegiance to a beast, and and if my allegiance to the beast is a rejection of Jesus Christ, that's the problem. Okay. So we need to understand this. Now, the Jerusalem church, dude, when they became Christians, their allegiance to the Lamb cost them everything. This is why we see in Acts chapter 5 and 4, you know, the believers were, people were selling their homes to feed the Christians in their local community, because Jewish Christians in Jerusalem were totally ostracized economically, you know, socially. They were kicked out of the temple. They were kicked out of their family homes. Nobody would do business with them. And so costing Jesus meant that they couldn't do business anymore. Okay. So I believe that the mark of the beast is symbolic, like almost everything else in the book of Revelation. And it's symbolizing a real thing that the early Christians were, things that were happening. For example, John's home church was in Ephesus. If you were an Ephesian Christian, you would be kicked out of the Ephesian trade guild. And Ephesus was a place where they would sell these little idols of Diana. It was like the main way that the city made money. And if you became a Christian, you were basically threatening the livelihood of Ephesus, because they would no longer work, you know, making these idols. And so they'd kick you out of the guild. And then you have no way to buy and sell. You know, you don't have a way to feed yourself. This is what's happening to Christians in Pakistan right now, dude. This is what's happening to Christians in places, in parts of India, you know, in Iran at the moment, where there's great revival actually breaking out. It costs Christians to, if you're a Christian in Egypt, you cannot play in any of the Egyptian soccer leagues unless you're a Muslim. And that's a mark of the beast, right? Like, so what, do you deny Jesus and play soccer, or do you stay loyal to the Lamb, right? Yes, you're going to lose, you know, for many Christians right now, they lose economic mobility because of their loyalty to the Lamb. And so what an immediate reading of the book of Revelation would do is we would trivialize what's actually happening here in the book of Revelation. We're dismissive of church history, dismissive of how this is, you know, this is a cyclical thing. And then, you know, it's using newspapers and imagination to interpret the text rather than just allowing the text to interpret the text and reading with the rest of church history. So I do not believe that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I don't believe that the polio vaccine was the mark of the beast. I do not believe that any of the vaccines that I've gotten as a child were the marks of the beast. Any of the vaccines, when I went to Haiti on a mission trip, I was like a pincushion. They stuck like 17 vaccines in me. None of them were the mark of the beast. Look, dude, check this out. I'm in Edinburgh at the moment, and I took this sick photo. Let me find it here. In a church in Edinburgh. And this is an attitude. Oh, here it is. This is in St. Giles in downtown Edinburgh. And it said this is from 1847. Thank God for James Young Simpson's discovery of chloroform anesthesia in 1847. And it's this plaque on the wall of this old church.
Wow.
And it just hit me like, that is so brilliant. Like, here is a church memorializing a scientific discovery that is making surgery so much easier for human beings and limiting suffering. And they are giving all praise and glory to God. I'm like, that is freaking sick. Like, and this is a historic church doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is wrong with us? Like, why are we so lost? And a lot of us have become so anti-science where it's like, you can't just go, God, thank you. Hey, church, let's, you know, imagine if our churches created a plaque and we said, Lord, thank you for the Pfizer vaccine. Thank you for the scientists, and thank you for leading them. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think that we need to be a little bit more mature and circumspect and look at church history and go, hey, you know, I'm sure every single generation could have found it's the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, you know, like pants, women wearing pants, the mark of the beast. You know, yeah. Like whatever some new invention is, but no, we can't do that. We need to resist these crazy theories that are unbiblical. And look, I have friends who've gone down this path as well. And it's just like, look, hey, I love you, but you're not helping.
Yeah. that summarizes so many conversations. Hey, I love you, but you're not helping. I've been talking lately to our church here about the dangers of a Christianity without Jesus and a Jesus without the church. You know, when I'm looking at Christianity today, I'm seeing, you know, Christianity becoming more and more, I guess, spiritualized, where you have what would the word be? A pseudo-Christian spirituality. And, you know, when we pick and choose, it's a buffet, and you pick and choose what you want from the buffet table called Christianity, and replace the words that it triggers and replace it with energy and love and power and light and, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And then you have Christians that want to have a Jesus without his body, the church. What do you think about this trend, and do you see the same trend?
Dude, so in my opinion, this is the hottest trend at the moment. I call these people Christian Buddhists.
Right.
A Christian Buddhist I define as somebody who they want a spiritual journey. They have some sort of basic understanding of spirituality, that there's something outside of themselves, and that, you know, that's a good place to start. But they believe that they can know the God of the Bible outside of his self revelation. And we can't. We just can't know God. We're stuck in the time-space continuum. And unless God, you know, God exists outside of the time-space continuum, I can't know who created the time-space continuum, because he's not made of the same stuff. And he's not experiencing time the way I am, matter the way I am, space the way I am, unless he invades the time-space continuum and he reveals himself. And that's what he did. The story of the Bible is a God who exists outside of the time-space continuum, that came into the time-space continuum, revealed himself, told us all about himself, and we can know him accurately. And then he tells us what he's like so that we can worship him accurately, because God is the best worship leader that there is. And so he's like, I know what I am. I know what I like. I know what I don't like.
Right.
So love me the way it's like any relationship. You know, you can't love Kate the way that you want to be loved. You have to find out the way she wants to be loved. And then you have to love her the way that she wants to be loved. And that's how a relationship works. It's the same way with God. We can't just love him the way that we want to love him. We have to love him the way that he wants to be loved. And so the whole of Christian worship is finding out what he loves and then doing what he loves. And we have there's a generation of Christians. They're called Christian Buddhists. And they're on a spiritual journey that it's completely on their terms. And God's just, you're not going to find God that way. And in fact, your worship will be rejected ultimately, because God is just, he's a king and he deserves a bit of respect.
Right.
And he won't be manipulated. He hates that. What he prefers is people who there's the story Jesus tells about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Pharisees were these uppity religious guys who thought that they had it all together and they knew everything. And there's a tax collector, and the tax collectors were basically like guys who had, it's kind of like, you know, if the Nazis had occupied Denmark during World War II and you were Danish and you started working for the Nazis and ratting other Danish people out and collecting taxes for the Nazis, that's what the tax collectors were. They were anti-Jewish traitors and turncoats, and they're the worst of the scum of the scum. And so Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. They go to the temple, and the Pharisee is like, God, I am so glad that I'm not a tax collector. That guy's a douchebag. He sucks. And I've never sinned. You love me so much. I'm super cute. I have a long beard, and I'm wearing this sweet dress. And the tax collector is beside the Pharisee, and he's beating his chest. And he won't even look up to heaven. But his head is bowed, and he's going, I'm a horrible sinner. Like, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus says that it was the tax collector who left justified. As in, like, God was like, that guy I love that guy. You know, because he showed some self-consciousness. He was aware of who he was in relationship to who God was. And my fear about Christian Buddhists is that you can't get justified if you think that God is a desperate boyfriend who loves you, and because you're cute and you have it all together, and it's just, you know, the you show, and it's all about you manifesting, and you're trying to use Christianity as some sort of manifestation tool for your best life ever. That's not how Christianity works. Christianity is about decentering yourself and platforming God, making him the center of your life, and then and finding out what he loves and worshiping the way that he wants to be loved. And so my great concern is that we could have a lot of people who they never repent, they never know the gospel, they never know God truly, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Man, that's so good. It also reminded me of a great bit that Brian Regan does on the You Monster, but that's another story, another day. But, you know, like, I think even just that the worship of Jesus, I mean, that's the danger of that is even in mission-focused churches, that we can have mission without worship, where suddenly we make church, we think the church exists to make, you know, decisions. We think church exists to, first and foremost, so that people can find Jesus, when really church exists so that we can worship him.
Come on.
And it's to create that space where we, you know, heaven and earth invades each other, where we have an encounter with God. And I think that that's a danger as well, that even those of us who have an understanding of Jesus is the central piece of Christianity, we understand that. But if he just becomes an object that we're kind of going, hey, I'm going to lead everyone to him, but we forget to enjoy him ourselves, we've lost it.
That's it. That's exactly it. The church is Jesus's body because it's his bride. He's obsessed with her. And we can't love God without knowing how to love God. And so you're absolutely right. That's, you know, if we don't know why we exist, you know, we exist to worship. We exist in relationship to God. Then we become like Martha's, you know. Martha was like, she was concerned about many things, you know, and it's so easy for Christians and for churches to be concerned about many things at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
We have to be Marys who are our first order of priority is to just be at the feet of Jesus. And that could be good enough.
That's it. I mean, you get so many tired Christians at the moment. They're just tired. And the thing is, you can't follow Jesus until you follow him. That's the hard bit of it, is that it's impossible to follow Jesus unless you start following him.
That's good.
He's the only one that sustains that pursuit. So, man, it's so good. Nathan Finocchio. Man, I wish you were here in person across the table.
Same, dude. Same.
We had some good stuff lined up. But that'll be next time. Let's do spring or summer.
Yeah, I will be, bro. I'm going to be, you'll be sick of me.
All right. Let's make that the aim.
Amen.
All right. Love you, bro.
Love you too, Thomas.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to This Is Us podcast. Whether you listen to them as an individual or as a team, we hope that they add value to you. Make sure to click follow or subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you for joining us. We are who we are. This is us.